Golf Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by Tourism Ireland, with world-class courses, historic links, stunning scenery, and unmatched hospitality. Experience golf like never before in Ireland. Start planning your dream golf trip today at ireland.com/golf. And by Ivy Cool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with Ivy Cool. Stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection and ice field technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. IBKUL.com. Mark Canizzaro of the New York Post and fellow member of the Met Golf Writers Association board joins us now.
Good morning, Ann. How are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you. And I know you've been at Trump National this week for LIV Golf and spoke to Phil Mickelson, and he's in the middle of yet another firestorm with these Ryder Cup betting allegations. What do you make of all of it?
Yeah, you know, there's a few things to unpack there. And, I mean, obviously, as we all know, Phil's had, you know, by his own admission, you know, a lot of gambling issues in his life. And the guy that made the allegations, obviously, is Billy Walters, is a, you know, notorious lifelong gambler, also was convicted for insider trading, in a case that somewhat involved Phil, because Phil had bought some of the stock that Walters was accused of the insider trading with, and Walters wanted Phil to testify on his behalf, and Phil was on the advice of his legal counsel did not, and Walters now, you know, has blamed Phil for having him, you know, been sent away for 5 years to jail. And so now he writes this book, which everybody has known for quite a while is about to come out, and it's pretty clear that he has an axe to grind with Phil, of course. And even in the excerpt that came out on the Fire Pit Collective website this past week, which is what kind of precipitated, you know, Phil's reaction, you know, this guy made it clear that he blames Phil for his downfall and his going to jail and whatnot. So, so you have to kind of, you know, you have to take that with a grain of salt and consider the source situation here. And obviously, as I mentioned before, you know, Phil's been pretty transparent in the last year or two about his gambling issues and how he's gone and gotten help. So Phil has been on record in the past with my colleague Bob Harrig, who I know you've had on the show here.
Sure.
From Sports Illustrated, as saying he's never bet on golf in terms of competition, like tournament golf. Obviously, he's well known for, you know, gambling in his practice rounds and whatnot, which has been kind of a fun thing over the years. But so he reiterated, Phil did this week, stating that he never bet on the Ryder Cup, never went that route, and would never discredit the sport that way. So, you know, you have to take everybody for their word and decide, you know, on your own who you're believing. You know, so that's kind of where it stands.
Sure.
You know, essentially, yeah.
I mean,
it's
they're
you know,
serious.
Listen, the bottom line, Phil, and as I wrote a column about this the other day. You know, in a lot of ways, I mean, Phil's always been an adventure seeker, both on and off the golf course, as you know. So, and sometimes it's to his detriment and gets himself into trouble. And obviously, in retrospect, he should never have associated with a guy like this guy, Billy Walters. And, you know, it's now kind of coming back and burning him a bit.
I would think. I mean, you know, these are serious allegations. So do you think it's something that golf powers have to look into? I mean, they can't have players betting on themselves or fans or anyone even thinking that this is happening.
I don't think that, you know, I mean, A, it's impossible to prove because, I mean, here's the funny thing. Even Billy Walters in his book says his allegation was that Phil came to him and wanted to place bets on the Ryder Cup, or bet on the Ryder Cup. Because these two guys were in kind of an informal partnership in
sure.
gambling, according to Walters. And Walters claims in the book that he talked Phil out of it. And he said, I don't know, basically I'm paraphrasing, he said, I don't know if Phil ended up betting on the Ryder Cup or not at this point, but I did not do it with him. And we did not place a bet together. So I mean, it's a lot of hearsay, you know. I mean, it's kind of you know. So
but
listen,
he did have exact numbers on all these other bets. I mean, I don't know how he got that research, but you know, saying that he's
I'm assuming
$1 billion and
my assumption is in terms of some of the exact numbers he had were the bets that they made together as they were you know partnering up you know with and those are things that Phil has not specifically. You know, those are things that he hasn't denied because obviously he, you know, that was all in the wheelhouse of his heavy gambling period of time in his life. And so, yeah, it's just, it's so, getting back to your original question, I mean, there's no way to prove it, A, and B, you know, I don't, you know, the tour and the powers that be in golf obviously, you know, don't permit, you know, their own players betting on this, you know, on their tournaments. You know, much like, you know, baseball and football and everybody else. I mean, right now, we're also spinning into a very slippery slope in our entire sports society, aren't we? With, I mean, the NFL is in bed with all the sports are in bed with these betting companies. And, the NFL suspending guys for a year or half a year if they're found gambling. We're in a very, very gray area, almost hypocritical period in the entire. Yeah, exactly.
Phil had, you know, said that he's taken full responsibility, he's gotten help, he's been fully committed to therapy that has positively impacted him, and he feels good about where he is now. So, you know, he's always in these controversial situations, and of course now at this LIV event in New Jersey, he's tied for second. Anytime it seems that, you know, things are happening around him that are so negative, he focuses on his game, and this is the first time he's going to be in the final pairing, and you know, and what, since he's joined LIV. So he knows that this, you know, if he starts to win again, maybe people are going to just start talking about his game, which has not been the case for 2 years now. So
no, it's fascinating that he's in the mix, isn't it? I mean, this week at a very, very difficult golf course. Which is playing long, you know, obviously with the as wet as it's been in the area here this week. And you're right, his results at LIV have been nothing to speak of at all. Obviously he's had a couple little flashes in the last year and change, and so obviously, you know, finishing the runner-up at Augusta and whatnot, but for the most part, his form has not been that great. I mean, I was actually talking to Patrick Reed the other day about Phil for a second piece that I did about Phil, just kind of about the player and fan reaction and what their view of him is. And even Patrick said, you know, I know his results has not been, you know, what he'd like, you know, but here we are, you know, he's just a few shots off the lead going to today's final round. And if he were to win this tournament, it would be quite some kind of story. It really would.
I mean, he's just a fascinating character. And, you know, the only time he has really spoken to the media in the last, two seasons is really during press conferences. I remember, you know, he was not happy with me last year at the U.S. Open at the Country Club in Brookline because he had been gone for a number of months following all the controversy, you know, of his words to author Alan Shipnuck, which led to Alan's, you know, book, basically, biography. But I had asked Phil at that press conference, what does legacy mean to you in light of all this LIV golf controversy? And, you know, he was not happy with my question. And Netflix picked it up, my question in episode 5. And although they edited his answer, I actually thought his answer was pretty decent. But, you know, for film, they just showed him looking at me like he was ready to kill me.
Yeah, that was in the belly of the beast in terms of the whole LIV controversy and him being, you know, certainly the face of LIV and taking most of the bullets. Yeah, that might have been the most uncomfortable press conference I think I've ever attended.
It was crazy.
I would put that one up there probably with the Bill Belichick stepping down from the Jets press conference a bunch of years ago. I mean, it was a cringeworthy press conference that day.
You're absolutely right. And so what did he have to tell? What did he have to say to you? Because he hasn't really spoken to anybody outside of these kind of group press conferences.
You know, and basically, I mean, I had spoken to Phil a lot prior and leading into LIV and whatnot. And he knew that this was going to be, there was going to be some rough seas, so to speak, ahead, He knew there was going to be a lot of criticism. Again, I don't want to take. I mean, we only have a segment here, but I mean, you know, Phil went to Jay Monahan. As a story I wrote in February of 2021, I believe it was, I had spoken to him. This is before Liv even anybody even knew what Liv was. It was still in the embryonic stage, and he had gone to Jay Monahan, the PGA Tour commissioner, with a proposal and an investor who was ready to put $1 billion up, $500 million to start, another $500 million after that. Where they were going to take about six or eight of the PGA Tour tournament weeks, where you know just the fields are traditionally weak, and they were going to buy out those weeks, and they were going to turn those into team events with all the top players going against each other, which is kind of what this whole golf world has been trying to find or accomplish or get that sweet spot for years. And Monahan and the PGA Tour officials on the PGA their board roundly just rejected it, because the catch was it was going to be player and investor owned, those handful of events, not PGA Tour owned. And the PGA Tour, in my opinion, arrogantly said, you know what? And in fact, Ed Hurley, who's the top gun at the on the PGA Tour board, his quote to the investor was, anything that is not PGA Tour owned or operated is considered hostile. And that quote, in my opinion, set Phil off and got made him a little bit reckless, because it angered him so much, because the PGA Tour, as you know, is a not-for-profit organization.
Right.
And that kind of comment certainly belies any not-for-profit. So my point is, if the PGA Tour had gone that route, they could have cut the entire Saudi and Live concept off at the knees right there, and we wouldn't even be talking about this. But the Tour, you know, let's be honest, has monopolized the sport and wanted to continue to do so. And, you know, that the Live money has now, as we've seen, prevented it from doing so, because it's obviously the bottomless pit of Saudi money. And that's now forced the PGA Tour into this quote unquote agreement, this framework agreement, and which we don't know where it's going to go. So,
do you think it's going to happen?
My point is quickly. Phil yeah. kind of this he was prophetic about this kind of stuff.
Yes, he was.
So so that's kind of where we're at right now. And all these things that he proposed are now coming to fruition, but they're coming to fruition because of Liv.
And do you think this proposed partnership, between the PGA Tour, DP World Tour, and the Saudi PIF, Public Investment Fund, do you think it's actually going to happen?
I think something will happen. I do. The way I see it, in the simplest terms coming out, is we'll see a PGA Tour at some point where there will be a handful, six or so, whatever, I'm throwing a number out, of team events with those top players. So you still have a team element going in the sport. And Liv, still has obviously a seat at the table. But yeah, I do see that. I don't see how Liv can sustain on its own the way it's going right now, because it's just not the product is just not possible to be a moneymaker. And my biggest problem with the Liv concept, I have no problem with Liv, but I have the biggest problem to me as a sports fan is there's no consequence to the result, other than another $4 million in a guy's bank account, and we're all numb to the money, aren't we now?
Yeah, the money's crazy. But if an investor comes in with upwards of $1 billion, which was revealed during the Senate hearing, I find it really difficult to believe, Mark, that what will be a, quote, minority investor, as the PGA Tour commissioner has stated again and again, it's hard to believe that the PGA Tour would be in control, which they continue to reiterate, if, the Saudis come in with that much money.
That's a fair point, but the PGA Tour still is strong, and it still is the PGA Tour, and the Saudis just wanted a seat at the table. So I think that there's I don't think this is just me talking. I don't know, this is not coming from sources, from the Live end, but I don't view this as something where the Saudis want to take over the PGA Tour and take over golf. I think they just want a piece of the action. They want a piece of the action, not just financially, but kind of, kind of to the sports washing element of it. They have a piece of the action in Formula One, and they have a lot of piece of the action in European soccer and the English Premier League. They don't own it and haven't taken the whole thing over.
Right,
I think
right.
they just want a piece, you know, at the table and all that kind of thing. So that's
and
where
a membership
I see this.
At Augusta
exactly.
National.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. That might be the hardest thing for them to get of all, right? You know.
Anyway, well, listen, we're out of time, but it's always great to connect with you. Great seeing you in Ireland as well, and I really appreciate your insight on this. We'll do it again, hopefully, in the future.
Anytime, Ann. Thanks for having me on.
Golf Interview with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Tourism Ireland, with world-class courses, historic links, stunning scenery, and unmatched hospitality. Experience golf like never before in Ireland. Start planning your dream golf trip today at ireland.com/golf. And by Ibe Cool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with Ibe Cool. Stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection and ice field technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. ibkul.com.